And just as an aside, doesn't that create a wonderful vision, that what a powerful name it is? Can you imagine that our reading this morning is about the disciples standing there and Jesus is about to send them out? Can you imagine them all gathered around him singing, what a powerful name it is, you know, like, go, 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 you know? It's pretty exciting stuff. So, but I'm gonna do the reading again. I'm going to read just the first section of it from the Message, which is a paraphrase, but it's kind of common English, and so I wanted you to hear that. Jesus now called the 12 and gave them authority and power to deal with all the demons and cure diseases. He commissioned them to preach the news of God's kingdom and heal the sick. He said, don't load yourself up with equipment. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. And no luxury inns, get a modest place, be content there until you leave. If you are not welcomed, leave town. Don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, move on. Commissioned, they left. They traveled from town to town, telling the latest news of God, the Message, and curing people everywhere they went. Now Jesus had traveled about preaching and healing, but he could only be in one place at one time, and so he sent his 12 disciples. They were, as Matthew Henry puts it, well instructed in the nature of the present dispensation. That's the framework of how God relates to man. They were now able to instruct others and deliver to them what they, the disciples, had received from the Lord. They were about to disperse preaching the kingdom of God to make people, other people, acquainted with the spiritual nature and the tendency of it. How often do we kind of hang on to our faith, but don't realize that everybody else around us needs that same faith? This was new and different than they had been taught in Hebrew school by the Pharisees. This was much more exciting. Since so much depended on people's receiving the word, Jesus empowered them. So he gave them his power to do miracles and even gave them the authority over demons. They could cast demons out. He gave them the authority to cure disease and to heal the sick. And this made them welcome and helped convince people as they entered these new towns. If we saw somebody outside healing the sick and curing people, we would pay attention too, would we not? Well, guess what? He gave us the authority to do the same. Let's note that demons were numerous, and they were sometimes subtle, they were sometimes fierce, they were sometimes obstinate. And I'm going to give you the meaning of obstinate. Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action, despite attempts to persuade one to do so. Ouch. So simply put, have you had the opportunity to feel like numerous demons were attacking your life? There's a great picture coming up here. Not that one. Back. There it is. With little demons just attacking people as they walked up the ladder there. They're attacking and they're poking and poking and poking. Have you ever felt poked by somebody else that was acting as a demon in your life? I have. Have you ever felt like a demon was attacking you in a subtle way, trying to edge through on your life of peace? Or maybe you've been fiercely attacked with what seemed to you to be no fair motive. Or has the demon been the obstinate one, stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action due to their own agenda, in spite of attempts to persuade them to pursue what is right? Truth be told, I think every adult in this congregation has had one of these situations at least at one time or another. And we know how frustrating that can be. But it's even more frustrating for God when we are the ones acting the part of the demon in the way of the kingdom. And if we're truthful, each one of us has also had that behavior. Pastor Steve Eli compared these verses to a football team, preparing for the big game. You can have the best athletes, but if they studied the playbook, if they failed to study the playbook, a loss will result. Unless everybody knows the playbook on the team, you can't exploit the other team and their failures. You can't call the best play. You can't coordinate as a team in unity. Without the playbook, you look out of place, out of sync, getting in each other's way. The playbook is essential for unity and victory and even evaluating results. And yes, it is a ram up there. Okay. We'll guess who picked that picture? The devil made him do it. There you go. That's right. So where do we and the disciples get such a playbook? Well, it's right here. This literally is our playbook, okay? It's our playbook. The Word of God gives us step-by-step instructions, and Jesus clearly stated, don't load yourself up with equipment. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. It wouldn't stop with this core team of disciples. In the next chapter of Luke, not to give it away too much, but in the next chapter of Luke, he's going to send 72 disciples out. And he's going to give them the exact same instructions that he gave to these guys. So the Word of God is our shield. And it's our shield not just for walking through our everyday life, but through being attacked by Satan. This is our shield. We could almost hold it up like a shield, couldn't we? Because it's what stops Satan from attacking. And when he does attack, he doesn't get through. He doesn't get through. So here go the disciples on their very first commissioned trek. They must have had all the emotions that went with that. We're going out on this big trip. He sent us out. And our blessed Savior did everything that he could in his wonderful power to prepare them step by step by step. He thought of everything. As McHenry commented, they must not be solicitous by trying to earn people's esteem through the way they dressed or through what they had. So what did he say? Go with nothing. As they were and depend on God's providence and their friends' goodness to care for their needs. That 12 turned into 72 has now turned into millions and millions of Christians all over the world. And that includes each one of us. And we have the same playbook. They had Jesus' words, we have Jesus' words. So are we following it? Are we running in our own strength and our own desires, or are we asking Jesus what he would have us do in every situation? Are we fighting Satan as he attacks us physically, but more often mentally or emotionally, with everything that we have in us? Are we staying focused on the most important thing, or are we trying to run the show? If we are trying to take control of the outcomes, let us stop right now and repent. Let us submit back to our life coach. Everybody knows what a life coach is, right? It's a popular thing now to be a life coach. Jesus is our life coach. Forgive us, Lord, when we have tried to take control. Now let me ask you, if you were leaving on vacation, we haven't been on a vacation in a while, but we'll get there soon. If you were leaving on vacation today, would you leave without snacks for the road? Would you leave without knowing that you were going to be welcome in the next town, maybe have a hotel booked? Would you leave without proper clothes for every situation that you may run into? These men had a boldness and a bravery that could only come By being deeply in the presence of Jesus Christ. He gave them boldness to speak in authority, a warning to those who refused them, and bind them over to the judgment of God. There was a known custom at the time when Jewish people walked into Samaria. So at every opportunity that they could, they would literally go miles out of their way and walk around the country of Samaria, because Samaria was considered beneath them. They didn't like Samaritans, they wanted nothing to do with them, and they even had this custom that they would shake off their sandals if they had stepped onto a Samaritan border, okay? Jesus was very clear about doing the same when they were not accepted, when his word was not accepted. This was a visible statement of disgust and removing all traces of both the dust from the Samaritan land, but also the dust from the land when they were not welcomed. This would be evidence of the area that it had been, that the disciples had been among them and they had not accepted God's word. And remember, the people that they're going to visit, though, are expecting a king. And by king, they mean a conqueror, a big, strong guy who's going to go to battle, who's going to have wars for them, who's going to take over lands for them. This is what they're thinking of a king. And he did not give them what they preferred. Instead, he instructed them deeply into the heart. And they had to develop what's today a very rare commodity, and that is spiritual discernment. How many times do we jump at decisions without spiritual discernment or looking at what God's preference would be for us or for the people around us? We all prayed for Kathy to be healed. And Miss Kathy was not healed physically. And that's hard for us to take. I'm going to talk about her in a few minutes. But sometimes our preference is not part of God's plan either. It's especially important for us today to give the unadulterated gospel to those around us. What do I mean by unadulterated? Well, this gospel that has been written for our instruction has been turned into all kinds of things today. And we've talked about it a lot in our church, about cultural changes and how churches and passive church members have accepted some of the things that are going on. We can't do that, because if we do, we're not representing Jesus Christ to the world. People have to first be attracted to us because we're welcoming and smiling and looking like we actually enjoy having a life with Christ. Amen? In literally every place we go, we're sending a message. Even if it's not a verbal one, people are watching us. If we have a frown on our face or we look distracted, we're sending a message too. And I've used this example before, and I'm going to use it again. When I come in here on a Sunday morning, I'm more worried about getting mom seated and getting the filing done and writing a check if I have to and making sure everybody's got what they need. And I have my brain going in a million directions. And I can't tell you how many times I've flown down this aisle or flown back up that aisle, back and forth three or four times before the service, and I've walked right past people and I haven't smiled and I haven't said hello, because I've got my brain in another place. I've had people say, "Are you unhappy with me?" And the answer is no, I'm distracted. I've got the devil poking me. So if I do that to you in the future, I'm going to ask for accountability here. If I do that to you in the future, grab my arm and say, "Hey, you forgot to say hi." and I would appreciate that. Okay? As we've received the Holy Spirit, we've received power from Jesus Christ to heal, to pray, and even to perform miracles. Now, God has used each of us sometimes in some different ways, but we have no idea how much He can use us for. God has some exciting plans for us, and for us to sit idly by is a waste of time. When we're going off on our own little tangents and we're worried about our own little stuff all the time, we're missing the big plan for us. And our petitions, our prayers to God really do make a difference. Whether He chooses to do a physical healing or whether He chooses to heal a heart or set on the road another on the road to eternity, our prayers make a difference. Our playbook is to be the influencer right where God has placed us. And we have a tendency to want to plan for God. He doesn't need our stinking plans. He doesn't need any of our plans. He's already got a plan. It's already in motion. All we have to do is to submit to His plan. Amen? What He needs is a faithful follower who's going to listen to that still small voice. And He will reveal the next step of our journey for us. At about age 65, He put this burning desire in me to help women who were exiting the jails or exiting some rehab or something. And I was helping them go from the jails into these different halfway houses. And I saw some pretty bad ones where people really were in it just for the money. I had already retired from a good career. I had grandchildren. I wanted to travel. Had a wonderful husband. Still do. Still do. And I had all my plans. I was going to travel. This is what I was going to do. Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And He laughed. And I argued with Him, and I had a few delays, but at age 67, I and a team of wonderful people opened House of Grace, and God has blessed it. Now, our successes, I have learned the hard way, are not in my original expectations, and Miss Marcella has helped me understand that. My original expectation was every girl that came into the house was going to be there 12 months, was going to be graduating. We were going to have a graduation party. It was going to be an exciting thing. But our success is measured one day at a time in influencing somebody for Jesus, equipping them to go out no matter what the length of time is that they are there. And little by little, Jesus is revealing the next steps of our journey. We've got a really neat picture up. Go to the next one. Oh, it's kind of dark. But this is Miss Marcella's baptism a few years ago when she was a member of the household, and now she is the manager of the household, and God has blessed that. Amen. So the bottom line is in the words of the prophet Isaiah, which Jesus shared in the synagogue, and I share with you now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's you, okay? Each of us saying this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim the good news. The good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus then said these important words, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today is the day of the Lord's favor." Amen? And I'm going to do a little aside. If you're wondering, what can I do today? Today there is something you can do. There is a prayer rally at the Capitol building from 3 to 5 today. And they are praying over the elections. They're praying that Christians would step out and vote. They're praying that people would vote their conscience. They're praying that we would vote our faith. And I would highly encourage anybody that's available to go to that today. We can pray from home as well. But what a wonderful thing to be in a group of Christians praying for our elections. Amen. Now this scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," is maybe a worthwhile one to put on our bathroom mirror where we can get reminded every day that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We can't deny that each of us has been called by God. Every one of us has been called here this morning. We might not have been too excited about getting up this morning. And you might have never stepped a foot in the church again, but this is the day that the Lord has called you in His favor. Our dear sister Kathy, who just passed recently, was quick to show people who Christ was. And many of you who are newer to the church didn't know Kathy. But for years, she led Girl Scouts here. In fact, when we got up to do the announcements, they would sing, "Announcements, announcements, announcements," every week. She led the Girl Scouts. She ran the food pantry. She helped with Vacation Bible School. In fact, she helped with anything she was asked to do. Why? Because she had a desire in her heart to spread the good news of Jesus to everyone, especially to those less fortunate. That's a picture of Kathy with Alexa on her quinceañera day. Well, let's move to the second part of this reading. And I'm going to read it again from the Message. Herod the ruler heard of these things going on, and he didn't know what to think. There were people saying John had come back to life, others that Elijah had appeared, still others that some prophet of long ago had shown up suddenly. Herod said, "But I killed John. I took off his head. So who is this that I keep hearing about?" And curious, he looked for a chance to see him in action. Now this was a real dilemma for him, because if he sought Jesus out, it would look beneath his character. But he was, go to the next one. He was confused, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to think about all of this. The fact that the disciples would now act in authority was amazing, and it was convincing proof that Jesus' power had been imparted to them as well. Now this was really a dilemma. So now Herod had to contend with Jesus, and now he's hearing about others. Others that have power and authority to drive out demons and heal people. But the reality is, all those people that were hearing of Jesus or accepting Jesus were just reflecting Jesus. They weren't the people in authority. Jesus was still the person in authority. It was just Jesus inside of them. Amen? Just the same way he's inside of us. We have the power to make a change. These guys were the most lowly working class men with nothing to raise expectations when they walked into town, except one thing. The light of Jesus was shining through them. Herod began to speculate on what was happening, and he wanted to see Jesus, but he felt it was below him, and then his heart was hardened. Now, Luke has a pretty brief explanation of this, and Luke is our scripture of the day, but if you look back to this same scripture in Matthew that was written earlier, you'll see more detail. Matthew was an eyewitness to all that had happened with Herod and John the Baptist over the last 3 years that he was with Jesus. Luke probably got his information from Matthew or from Peter, who both had known John the Baptist personally. Historian Flavius Josephus also gave a detailed account of this in the history books of Herod and his execution of John the Baptist. So now Herod's really curious. He doesn't know what to think. Could John the Baptist be risen from the dead? And if so, where's his head? I just added that. But could he have been raised from the dead? John the Baptist had put him in his place, and he had a very embarrassing situation with him. He hated but respected John. But then his wife puts him in a real pickle because the daughter goes dancing at a party, and he, in front of all his guests, says, "I'll give you anything you ask for." And the wife hated John the Baptist, and she said, "I want his head on a platter." And so he had executed John the Baptist. So we, like Herod, have to be careful of promises made. Amen? Pastor Thomas Swoff said, if we reject the truth, we are in danger of developing all sorts of distorted and false hopes. And Herod's thinking was truly distorted. He ended this quote with saying that Paul's instructions to Timothy to stay clear of anybody that did not follow Jesus' teaching. This will involve a risk on our part. And we don't like risk. But Jesus didn't call us to be comfortable. He said, those following the world have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth. If there is not an issue in this world today that is exactly that situation, I'll eat my hat. We have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth. Do we need to fight with everybody in the world? No. But we need to be the light of Christ, and we need to convince. We need to let people know who Jesus is. We need to be his representatives. We're his ambassadors. We're like an ambassador for the government, but we're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and we have to be his ambassador everywhere, all the time, pushing his words out, letting people know, this is what Jesus thinks of that. I had a conversation with a man yesterday and invited him to church, and he says, it's not that I don't believe in a higher power. Understand, I do believe in a higher power, but I don't think that higher power has to have a name, and I don't think it has to be Christian. And I said, I would just invite you to do some studying then. I said, study history, study where each of these different religious leaders came from. Just do some studying and look at where is the deepest history. And where have the miracles happened? And I said, I would just invite you to study. If people don't welcome you nor your faith, shake the dust off. There's a lot of younger people today who are sick of doing church, and they want substance, and they want growth. They want a playbook that they can believe in. When they see wrong in the world, they want to know what the reactive play is. They want to be all in for Jesus. You know what happens to a cotton ball when you dip it down in water? It gets saturated, right? That's us. We want to be saturated with the teachings of Jesus Christ, so much so that when we're lifted out of the water, it's an automatic thing that is going to spread out. We have to be well prepared to function through life where Satan is poking us every single day. So who's poking you right now? Who's in your life poking your feelings and poking your faith in the stead of Satan? Remember, he uses people. What's pulling you away from the faith that you know is right? What's pulling you away from morals and ethics? Let us journey with Jesus today. Let's not allow Satan to rob our joy. Let's not allow him to rob our focus. Let's say no when he begins to mess with our mind, and he will. He will mess with our mind. He'll tell me to fight with Rick. He'll tell you to fight with somebody else. He'll tell you to make a statement when you don't really need to. That's what Satan does. So get convicted of your faith, Christian. If there was ever a time in our world to be convicted, today is the day. We've been given the playbook. It clearly instructs us what to do. We have to be all in on our own discipling journey. And guess what? We don't need to take anything with us. We need for nothing. He sent us to proclaim good news and freedom, to heal. You can heal. To cure, you can cure, maybe even to perform a miracle in Jesus' name. And to proclaim 2022, and especially now as we almost are in 2023, to be the year of the Lord's favor. So let us not be idle, and most importantly, let us not be passive. Let's get to work for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray for